Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
My name is Leticia Gallegos, President and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association. And co-hosting with me today
is Salvador Villalobos, 2020 Community Outreach Director.
Yes, and we're happy that you're here with us today. We've got a great topic today, right, Sal?
Yes, we do, as we do every week.
Absolutely. And so today we want to talk to you, listeners, about managing debt. Now, when we talk about managing debt, it covers a lot of things. So when we're talking about managing, what we're gonna do today is we're gonna define debt and credit, and how they differ.
Right.
Because there's a difference between debt and your credit.
Correct.
And so we're gonna define phrases and terms commonly used to discuss debt, and we're gonna provide strategies for reducing debt. Right. Okay.
And all this information is coming from the Money Smart curriculum. So
yes,
we're not just making it up on the fly.
Yeah, we're very proud to partner with the FDIC to bring you the Money Smart curriculum. So this comes straight from that curriculum.
Right.
And that's available to you if you'd like more information. Please email us and we'll get that information to you. You can email us at rebashow@rebaconnect.org.
And how do you spell Reba?
H-R-E-B-A.
That's right.
All right. So we're also going to provide you with an overview of student loan debt. Now, we see or we know that there's tons of student loan debt out there.
Correct.
Yes. And there's also a lot of medical debt. So we're going to talk about those specifically as we go along through our program. So our first question today is, what is debt?
Debt is money that you have borrowed already. Is that correct?
Yeah. That is definitely an answer. And so the key takeaway from what we're going to talk about here right now is understanding debt is the first step to managing it.
Correct.
So we have to understand it. So what is credit compared to debt?
Well, credit's the ability to borrow money that you haven't borrowed yet.
Okay. Right? So a good summary is debt is money that you've already borrowed.
Right.
And credit is the ability to borrow it.
That's correct.
Okay, awesome. All right, so what is a debtor then?
A debtor is somebody that owes money.
I
owe on my mortgage, I owe on a car payment, I owe on a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
I owe my cousin Tommy some money. I'm a debtor to him. It's money that I have to take in consideration.
Right, so it's another word for borrower
when we're talking about
home ownership, and when you're looking for a mortgage, you're considered a borrower.
Well,
that's also a debtor,
right?
Once you have the debt.
Right.
Okay. And a creditor.
Creditor or lender.
Mm-hmm.
Is somebody that lends you the money, that borrows you the money, however you word it. It can be an organization, a person, a business. They lend money to the debtor, mm-hmm, or soon to be debtor.
Okay. And so we are home ownership here at From the Experts,
right,
this show. So why do we need to know about managing debt when we're talking about home ownership, Sal?
Well, I mean, in all aspects of your life, if you don't manage your debt correctly, that's going to impact your ability to be a debtor. You want to buy a home. Mm-hmm. You may still buy the home, but at a much elevated interest rate, at a much elevated down payment. Mm-hmm. Or you have you want to get car insurance. They look at your credit. That may indirectly impact your monthly or annual premium, mm-hmm, which then is going to impact your monthly expenses.
Okay, so overall, what we want to talk today about is managing that debt.
Correct.
Because when you manage that debt, it also affects your credit score.
Your credit score.
Yes.
Your ability to borrow money. Your ability for many things. I mean, buying a house, credit, buying a car. You want to get a cell phone. You know,
mm-hmm,
it impacts every aspect of your life.
Okay.
So
to understand debt, it's important to know a few things.
Correct.
Number one, who you owe.
Right.
Okay. And you as a lender, you tell people, you know, have you reviewed your credit report? Right. That kind of thing.
Look at it once a year.
Yes.
Know who exactly. You're, because you may not owe that person anymore.
Exactly. And how much you owe them right. is important to know.
Exactly.
And how much the payments are and when the payments are due and other important facts right. like that.
Sometimes I get calls or when we're reviewing their credit, they're like, well, how much do I owe? I've made so many payments. Well, your interest rate is quite high. So the amount of your funds that are being or your monthly payments being allocated to your principal balance is much less than what's being applied towards your interest, mm-hmm. and that is directly related to how you manage your credit.
Exactly. And it's also important to think about why you incurred the debt, such as to purchase assets.
Right.
That's how you incur debt.
What would you consider an asset?
An asset? Oh, gosh, car, house, things like that.
Yeah.
So pay your bills. That's important.
Right.
Cover unexpected expenses or emergencies.
Well, you know, as a lender, we always tell our clients, you know, you want to have 3 to 6 months worth of reserves mm-hmm. in case a one-off does happen. You know, somebody gets sick, they can't go to work, or it's the flu and one is off 1 week, the next week. That's going to impact your bills if you don't have some savings to weather the storms.
Exactly. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. So let's talk about the kinds of debt. So we have installment loans and mm-hmm. then we have revolving credit.
Right.
Okay. So when we talk about those two, listeners, listen carefully because there's a difference between an installment loan
right.
and a revolving credit. So what would be an example of an installment loan?
A student loan, a mortgage, a car payment, a unsecured installment loan, as it says in the word. I mean, so you're making payments every month based on a payment schedule mm-hmm. that was given to you mm-hmm. at the time of the consummation or when you closed on that loan, whether it's a car, a house, a student loan, or some, you know, even a home improvement loan. Mm-hmm. Where it's a loan, not the line of credit, you know what your payments are going to be month in, month out, and every month a bit of that payment gets allocated more towards principal and a little less towards interest. Mm-hmm. So at the midpoint, you should be tilted more towards paying down your principal than what you're sending towards interest.
Right. For our listeners that don't have a mortgage yet, that are preparing themselves to purchase home. So an installment would be something like if you bought a TV
right.
at a store, you know, right. and things like that. So it's the payment and interest that you pay over a term.
Right. Such as, you know, your local furniture stores.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll have installment payment plans. Mm-hmm. Where if you go to a big box or a larger company, they'll usually have you apply for a credit card, which is revolving line of credit, correct?
Okay, so let's go ahead and talk about revolving
All right.
credit.
So revolving credit is, they give you a line.
Mm-hmm. A maximum credit limit.
Yeah, let's say that limit is $1,000. You can use it and pay it off as you need to. Or as you want to, hopefully as you need to. But your interest is charged on the amount that you owe at any given time. You can pay it down, not have any interest. You access those funds again, go to dinner, pay for a phone, whatever you pay. I mean, you're just increasing the balance, paying it down. But you need to be careful because you're paying interest. Variable. It's a variable interest rate. You're not. Typically, it's tied to your prime rate. The prime rate can fluctuate monthly. You'll find that indicator or that prime rate index on the Wall Street Journal the first Wednesday of the month. So you need to be careful with that. Most of the time, your minimum payment does not cover enough. They say that the typical debt takes about 8 years if you're just sending the minimum payment, in some cases even longer than that, depending on how much you owe. So when you're paying revolving debt, you always want to pay more than what is required from you. You want to pay that debt as quickly as possible. Because let's say that you have a limit of $1,000, or let's say $500, and you have a monthly payment of $25, but your balance is $476, let's say. Okay. Your credit's already impacted because you're going over the standard 30% utilization, which means you should keep your line of credit used roughly around 30% of the total limit. So let's say you're at 476 and now you have a monthly payment of $25. You have now gone over your limit. Mm-hmm. Your credit score is going to take a pretty substantial hit because you've gone over your limit of your credit. It's already gone. It's already a little, it's been impacted. You've gone over 50, you've gone over 75. Now you've gone over the limit. It's really impacted your scores. That's why we're always saying pay more than the required amount.
The ideal thing would be to pay it off at the end of the month.
Correct. Pay no interest within that grace period.
Exactly.
Within 25 days.
Right. So when you're building, your credit, let's say you're wanting to buy a home, and you are told by your lender that you need to build some credit.
Correct.
They usually recommend that you get a credit card if you don't already have one, and that you charge on it. Pay almost all of it off, maybe leave $10 on it, something like that. That will build your credit.
Correct.
And then, of course, there's secured credit cards and all that.
Correct.
So we will discuss that today.
They're looking at the utilization of credit. It's also, it's not good to have, say, 5 credit cards with no balances. Mm-hmm. That is also because they're anticipating that once you buy a home, now you're going to be spending all this money on your credit cards, so it's going to impact your scores. So utilization of credit, knowing how to use credit before you buy your home is important. Pay your groceries on there. Put your gas. Every couple of weeks, just put a little reminder on your phone. Hey, it's time to pay it in full.
Okay.
You know, and that helps you increase that score.
Okay. So we're talking about managing debt. Listener, if you just tuned in, we're talking about managing debt. And so let's now talk, Sal, about reducing debt, because that's part of managing your debt. You already have debt. That's why you're listening to us. So now let's talk about reducing your debt. So let's discuss some strategies for reducing the debt and managing it. So when we're talking about reducing debt, there's 2 strategies that are recommended. So the first strategy is called the high cost debt first method.
Right.
Okay. So explain some of that.
It's where you pay your highest, what costs you the most. You may have a balance, say, of $5,000 on one card, $10,000 on the other. In your mind, I should pay off that $10,000 debt first.
Because it's more.
It's more. But let's say your interest rate on that 5% is 27%. You were late on a few times on your card. It's 27%, where the credit card with $10,000 has a introductory rate of, 8%, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
I would say if you have the ability, pay that $5,000 off, because you're saving yourself almost, 18% in interest.
The one with the highest interest rate that's the one you need to focus on paying first. Based on this method, the high cost debt first method.
And is that the high balance? It's the high cost.
Right. How much it's costing you to
keep
that
credit
card.
You may have a balance of 5% on a credit card. But you have another credit card with 27%. That's the one you want to attack. That's 18% to 20% that you can be using to pay off some other debt.
Mm-hmm. Then there's another method.
Right.
It's called the snowball method.
That's when you go skiing. No. It's when you pay off the debt with the lowest balances. That's not a bad, especially if you don't have the ability to pay off a higher balance account. This is a nice way of being able to start making a dent on your monthly payments so that you can start attacking. Let's say that you have 10 cards with small balances or 5 cards with small balances totaling $200. You may be able to reduce that debt within the next 6 months and save yourself $200 a month, where you can apply those same $200 towards another card.
Right.
So let's say that other payment's $50, you can send $250 every month to liquidate that account of $500. And then if you get your income tax check, you know, you attack the rest. That's a nice way of doing it as well, you know.
Okay.
Limit the, well, I'm going to put it in the bank. I'm going to earn 3%. Well, why don't you just pay off your debt and not use it again and save yourself 15, 20, 30%. It's a better deal.
Exactly. So we're going to take a quick break.
I don't want to.
Sal. And when we come back, we're going to see which, I mean, you decide which strategy is better for you. It depends on your situation and your right. preferences. So we're going to go into a little more detail about the high cost debt first method and the snowball method. And then right. you can decide which best for you. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll do that.
Right.
Stay tuned.
Think about all my problems. I'm living now. I'm living now. Hey, I can't sit and worry about the future. I'm living now. Said I'm living now. So put your hands up if you feel like having a good time. I'm gonna celebrate this life I'm giving. From now on. From now on. I'm gonna tell my mother every day I love her. And tell her thanks for being such a good mother. From now on. Come on. So put your hands up. In this quick moment, and you never ever think it's gonna go away. But I swear, I know you'll wake up one day and say, yeah, I got things to do. Yeah, I got mountains to move. And it ain't about how sad it could be, it's about how good it should be. Come on, say, feels good, don't it? Feels good, don't it? You only got one life, live in the moment. Feels good, don't it? Feels good, don't it? You only got one life, live in the moment. Feels good, don't it? Feels good, don't it? You only got one life, live in the moment. Feels good, don't it? Feels good, don't it? You only got one life.
Come on, sing it.
Oh, 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 it feels so good to be alive.
I wanna feel good. Come on.
Oh, it feels.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Ownership, hear it from the experts. Live from the Fishbowl Radio Network at Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. So we have been talking today about managing debt.
Yes, we have.
And it's very important to manage debt, especially when it comes to home ownership. So and sustainable home ownership,
right.
Because it's one thing to buy your home. It's another thing to sustain it.
Right.
And so managing your debt is really, really important when you're when you are a homeowner and as you prepare
right.
to become one.
And I'm very happy to be co-hosting with Leticia Gallegos. This is Salvador Villalobos. We are from RIBA, the Hispanic Brokers, Real Estate Brokers Association.
Yeah. All right. So right before the break, we were talking about plans to reduce debt. So
yes,
there's two methods that we talked about. The first one is high cost debt first
right.
method. So let's continue to talk about that. There's some advantages and some disadvantages. So the advantage to doing the high cost debt first method is that that's to refresh memories. It's to pay off debt that has the highest interest rate
correct.
First. So the advantage to that is you save money because you pay less interest,
correct.
Right?
Do you want to pay 5% interest or do you want to pay 25% interest?
Right. And if you have something that you're paying 25% interest on, you want to get rid of that right. debt first. A disadvantage is the progress may feel slower.
Correct.
Okay. So
it might feel slower, but mm-hmm. given that 'tis the season for filing your taxes, you may be getting a refund. That may be the best way to allocate those funds than taking a trip, buying clothes, mm-hmm. buying, you know, a Game Boy or whatever it is. Because I've heard somebody, I'm going to get my kid a $400 gaming system. Hey,
exactly.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful sentiment, but let's get you into a home. Let's pay down your debt to reach that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly. And paying, you had mentioned earlier, Sal, that paying extra
correct.
Would also help
correct.
Pay down that debt. Okay. So if you, listener, have a question about what we're talking about managing debt today, please join our conversation. Call us at 214-431-5032, and we'll be happy to answer your questions if we can. So the next method mm-hmm. that is used, and again we are talking bringing you actually the Money Smart curriculum from FDIC that we use at our workshops and when we do our outreach. So the second method is called the snowball method.
Right.
Okay, so there's an advantage and a disadvantage to that as well.
Right. The advantage on the snowball method is that you are eliminating debt, more trade lines or more creditors faster because they're smaller balances. You may owe a creditor or a collection agency $75. Pay them off. You owe somebody else $150. You pay them off. Mm-hmm. Then you owe the next person that you owe $250. You pay them off. Is it easy? No, it's not easy, but there is a true reasoning for it. You have some goals. The goals either buy a home or...
Yeah, you're making progress faster, which
exactly.
is motivating. Absolutely.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's very motivating.
Yeah.
Then you can start attacking your larger balance accounts because now you have more disposable income to use to pay off those other larger accounts.
Okay. And what's the disadvantage? That you're paying more money.
You're paying more money. You're not seeing the biggest progress on your larger accounts. But remember, it is a process. It is mm-hmm. not something that you're going to get there overnight. And once you're done with all of it, it's mm-hmm. it's very refreshing. It's rewarding. You accomplished it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So when we were talking about those kinds of methods of paying, we were talking a lot about revolving credit.
Correct.
And so let's take on, you ready to take on this battle here, Sal? We're going to talk about dealing with student loan debt.
I love it.
So there is lots and lots of student loan debt.
Right.
$2 trillion. Yes, it's huge. So let's talk about strategies. Mm-hmm. So first of all, what is a student loan debt? So when we look for a description, for an explanation of what is student loan debt? It's the amount of money someone owes for student loans. That's what it's called, a student loan debt. Mm-hmm. For some people, student loan debt will be the biggest debt they ever have, even more so than a home, I think.
Yeah, I see some doctors with $300,000-$400,000 in student loans.
Huge, huge amounts of student loan debt.
They'll pay it off like in 2 weeks after they become doctors. I'm just kidding.
Dealing with student loan debt can sometimes be stressful. It's very stressful.
It's very stressful.
Because you went to school to get a great career, and sometimes you don't get there fast enough, you know, as far as your income.
Right.
Know that there are repayment options and that you can reach out for help.
Exactly.
And we're going to give you the information that you need to
sometimes
do that.
Sometimes one of the biggest stumbling blocks are the student loans. Yes, they help you obtain your career. And, you know, your first few years, you may not be earning as much because entry level, but eventually you will be earning that. But there's some great, you said reach out. People in certain professions, nurses, doctors, sometimes they can eliminate that debt by joining the Peace Corps or some kind of organization where if it's a federal student loan, they may get some kind of relief from that. But, you know, talk to your servicer and to your school administrators so that they can, or financial counselors, so that they can gear you.
Mm-hmm.
So they can
guide you.
Guide you, mm-hmm. Not gear you, guide you.
Yeah. All right. So let me ask you, I'm going to ask these questions. And for you listeners, check off the boxes. Okay, so how has your student loan debt affected you? There's lots of reasons or lots of ways that it has affected you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go through these questions quickly, and you think in your mind how this has affected you, because I know that you're listening and I know that you're almost drowning in student debt, and this information will help you. You know, a lot of times we don't want to think about it. You know, if we don't think about it, it doesn't exist,
right,
kind of thing. But so listen to this. So these are the questions. These may apply to you, they may not. I'm paying more in fees and interest. Part of my paycheck was taken from me to repay the loans. Money was taken from my account at a financial institution to repay the loan. My tax refund was withheld to pay the loan. I had to take one or more semesters off. I can't get more federal student aid. There are negative entries on my credit reports. My credit scores went down. I'm unable to borrow money. I'm stressed out because I can't pay my student loans. I can't reach my other goals, or I don't know.
Right.
And that I don't know needs to change. You need to really be on top of it. So those are really important questions. Things that are happening out there. So types of student loans. There's two types of student loans.
Can I just touch on something? We went over that information. All the, is this you? But it also impacts parents. Parents sometimes sign or co-sign for their children. And when they want to make them, and it's very important that we as children or as parents understand when we sign for our kids or when they sign for us. Why? Because their payment history is going to affect the parent who's trying to buy a house, who is retiring and wants to move to another location. This will actually impact their scores as well and maybe their ability to progress themselves. So it's very important. You're not the only one that's being affected here. As a student, yes, you're impacting your own score, but you're also impacting that of your parents. So be cognizant of that, and you know, it's just not going to go away. And I bring it up because I do see quite a bit of that, mm-hmm, on both sides, as a child who's borrowing the money and the parent, mm-hmm, who's co-signing for them.
Right. Okay, right. Very important. So the two types of student loans are private student loans, and then there's federal student loans.
Right.
Okay, so the private student loans are non-federal loans made by a lender such as a bank, credit union, a state agency, school, or other lender. Those are private.
Right.
When you talk about co-signing, are you talking about those kinds of private loans?
Exactly, those private loans.
Yeah. So federal student loans are offered by the federal government. Okay. So the Department of Education provides a table that compares federal and private student loans. So we're going to give you a website, listener, to check. It's called studentaid.gov. www.studentaid.gov.
All one word.
And search for federal private. Federal private, those two words. Search in their search for federal private. This section only covers federal student loans. Okay, so that way you can check that out.
Right.
Gives you some more great information. Okay, so when we're talking about federal student loan, let's talk about repayment options.
Okay.
So what are our repayment options when we're talking about federal student loans? So you must begin repaying federal student loans after a grace period.
Usually about 6 months.
Okay.
After you...
Exactly.
That's either after you...
complete school.
Complete school. You drop out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you take fewer credits than right. required by the loan, because the loan has a minimum credit. Okay, so when it's time to start paying back federal student loans, you will deal with the loan servicer.
Correct.
Okay, and the loan servicer handles billing and other services for federal student loans during the repayment period.
Right.
That's what they do.
And there's usually about three different options that you can have. Well, actually, there's four. There's a little bit more than that.
Yeah,
but the ones that I see the most mm-hmm. is the standard repayment plan.
Right.
This is default option. If you do nothing, you go under the standard repayment plan. Mm-hmm. But there's also the graduated repayment plan, an extended plan that extends your payment. You have the pay-as-you-earn plan, and based on your income.
And income-based.
Right. Mm-hmm. So from a lender standpoint, we only take the standard repayment plan. We do not consider the extended because it's never guaranteed. It can change mm-hmm. at any time. The pay as you earn, the pay as you, or the income-based repayment plan, those can change because it's depending on the amount of income you make, the higher your income.
Okay, so what you're saying is that when you're considering a borrower.
For a loan, for a mortgage.
For a mortgage loan.
Right.
And this is probably standard for most mortgage companies.
Fannie, Freddie. FHA,
yeah, VA. Is the standard repayment plan.
The standard repayment plan. Uh-huh. You'll say, well, that's the plan I'm in. I'm only required to pay $60 a month. Mm-hmm. Fantastic. But the reality is once that payment plan terminates or expires, or you no longer qualify based on your income the following year when you apply.
You're talking about others other than the standard.
Other than the standard, okay. Right. The mm-hmm. The graduated, extended, yeah. pay as you earn.
Mm-hmm.
The lender has a responsibility to the home buyer or the homeowner. We need to make sure that they're going to be able to repay their mortgage payment and pay their bills. So we need to take the standardized payment. We will ask the applicant to go to their servicer and select not to change the payment plan, but just to select what the payment would be under the standard repayment plan. Otherwise, we're going to take a percentage, which is going to be much higher than the mm-hmm. standard plan, and they may not qualify otherwise. So you may only require, based on that current payment plan, say pay as you earn or extended, mm-hmm. $50, $60, but your standard payment plan is $500. We need to qualify you in that $500. We want you to succeed. We don't want you to just put you in a home.
Okay. All right. So then there, the Department of Education does provide a repayment estimator tool.
Exactly.
And it can show you what plan or plans you may qualify for and give you more information.
Right.
So you go to the same website. And again, listeners, our subject today is managing debt. And we're talking specifically about managing student loan debt. At this point, if you'd like to join the conversation, 214-431-5032. So the estimator, the repayment estimator, is at www.studentaid.gov, and then you search for repayment estimator.
Correct.
And that'll help you there. All right. So let's talk now about forbearance and deferment.
All right.
Okay. So the The forbearance or the deferment may also be options. So let's give our definition. The forbearance is a temporary postponement or reduction of payments for a period of time because you are experiencing financial difficulty.
Correct.
Okay. And the deferment is a temporary suspension of loan payments for specific situations such as re-enrollment in school, right, unemployment, or economic hardship.
Right. Okay. So the payments doesn't mean you don't owe them. It mm-hmm. just means they're being put on a hiatus, if you will, for a small a short period of time or a year. Just because you're not required to make a payment does not mean that, and I have to bring this back to the lending side, mm-hmm. We need to still consider that payment because it's still just a deferment. It's not a liquidation of debt. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it does. Yeah. All right. So then we have loan forgiveness, cancellation, and discharge.
Right.
So you're responsible for repaying your student loans, even if you cannot find a job related to your area of study, mm-hmm. Are unhappy with the education you paid for with your loan.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, all that, you're still responsible.
It's like if you buy a house, you're not happy with your house. You just can't say, I'm not going to pay it. Same principle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. However, under certain circumstances, your federal student loans may be forgiven, canceled, or discharged. And again, you go to that website, www.studentaid.gov, to find out more about these options. For example, there's a closed school discharge, mm-hmm. Teacher loan forgiveness.
That public, what I was talking about earlier,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Public service loan forgiveness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a discharge due to death.
Right. Or you're permanently disabled, total or permanently disabled.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that you need to...
Our options.
Our options, yeah.
Okay. So when... So take action to prevent default. So what are things that we can do to take action to...
First and foremost, contact your servicer and let them know your challenges. See what mm-hmm. options are available to you.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't say, well, I can't make the payments and I'll just let it go.
Yeah, see if you can change your payment due date.
Exactly.
Review different repayment plan options.
Right. And they'll give you the options.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so if you apply for a repayment plan, continue making payments on your loans.
Right.
If possible, until you receive official notification of your new repayment plan.
Correct.
You continue to make those payments.
And if you can, let's say you're only required to pay 50, but you can pay 75. Pay those 75. You'll mm-hmm. be much better for it. Unless you have other debt that you can apply that extra 25 to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And always, with like everything else, Sal, we have to beware of student loan scams.
Right.
So some companies may advertise that they can help you repay your loans quicker and cheaper or get them forgiven altogether. Be cautious
right.
of that. Some of these companies are running scams.
Especially if they're charging you.
Especially if there's an upfront fee, for sure.
Go to the Better Business Bureau. They'll have something. Or just, you know, do your due diligence on a company. Go
exactly.
Google them. Look at reviews.
Absolutely.
Better Business Bureau. You know, but first and foremost, go to your servicer, ask them how they can help you.
Exactly. So that's the end of our student debt mm-hmm. Talk. When we come back, we're going to take a short break.
Your student loan debt, if it's a federal loan and you want to get a federal subsidized mortgage or a mortgage through FHA or VA, you can't be late for 12 months. To be even consider taking out a mortgage because it's one federal, you can't be late on another federal loan. It's important, especially if you're going to buy a house. You always want to be able to make your mortgage payment, your student loan payments, but.
Yeah, that's good to know because especially when you're looking to purchase a home, you have to be on federal student loans. You have to be current.
Correct.
All right. So if you'd like to join our conversation, next we're going to be talking about managing medical debt.
What?
Now, how many of us have medical debt? Give us a call, 214-431-5032. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be talking about medical debt. Stay tuned.
watching my favorite show. PJs, popcorn, and ice cream with no makeup on. My girls drag me out to a party. I didn't wanna go. I walked in and that's when I saw you. My heart hit the floor.
Programming for The Reba Show is proudly underwritten in part by the Arlington Tomorrow Foundation, contributing to a thriving Arlington, and in part by the Texas Association of Realtors Housing Opportunity Foundation. Funding is also provided by generous donations from listeners like you.
Reba Show, homeownership, hear it from the experts. Live from Fishbowl Radio Network at the Globe Life Park, Arlington, Texas, the American Dream City. My name is Leticia Gallegos, President and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association, REBA. And with me today, Sal.
It's Sal Villalobos, the 2020 Community Outreach Director.
Yes.
Reaching out.
Reaching out to the community. And we're doing some great things in the community, y'all. And y'all, I'm from Texas. And
talk about a golf outing in a little bit.
Yeah, we've got a lot of things going on. So stay tuned. If you have not liked on Facebook, if you are on Facebook and you haven't liked our Reba show, please do that. That way you can stay tuned with topics that we have coming up on the Reba Show. And then also at Reba Connect for our outreach events
and
as well.
Reba is spelled H.
H-R-E-B-A.
Right.
And that is the acronym for Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association.
So Reba Show.
Right. So before we went on break, we were talking about managing debt. That's our topic today, managing all kinds of debt. And our next section is managing medical debt. Now, medical debt, you know, before medical debt, we were talking about student loan debt, and that's huge. Medical debt can be huge also, but there's...
It'd be devastating.
It absolutely. So medical debt is a result of not paying your medical bills, though.
Right.
So it doesn't become a debt when you get medical care.
Right.
It becomes a debt when you don't pay it.
Correct.
And so we have to be careful, and even if we have insurance, Sal, you were talking about that before.
Right.
When you have insurance, you still have to look at your medical bills.
Right. There's an explanation of benefits. You'll see what the medical provider has charged, if you have insurance, what your insurance company has paid on your behalf, and then what you owe. That is the amount that you have to pay, and you may get more than one. So keep an eye out for those explanation of benefits. These are letters you're getting in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't receive it, doesn't mean you don't owe it. Call the medical the billing department, mm-hmm. and square away with them, because it's not going to go away. It's going to follow you forever.
Pretty much. And you do have to stay on top of
right.
it. My husband recently had surgery, and we keep getting a bill from, I'm going to say, the anesthesiologist, and it turns out that it wasn't paid by the insurance company because of a coding error.
Right.
So it could be as simple as a coding error that caused that to happen.
Right. And your insurance company is not at fault. Your medical billing department is not at fault. It's always going to fall on your shoulders. So
mm-hmm.
it doesn't remove the liability from you.
Exactly.
And it's going to go against your credit.
Exactly. That's why you have to stay on top of it. So the sequence basically is that you receive your medical care,
mm-hmm.
and then you receive your bill for your medical care.
Right.
And then your medical bill is not paid, and that's when it becomes medical debt.
Right.
And so, yeah, you have to definitely stay on top of it. Even though if you're not feeling good after you get medical care, you still have to stay on top of it.
Especially after you look at your bill, you don't feel well.
Exactly. So make sure that you're looking at your actual bill when you get it.
Right.
Read it carefully. It could be, you mentioned explanation of benefits, an
right.
EOB. An EOB is not a bill.
No.
It's just an explanation. It's a document that lists the charges. If it is a bill, review it carefully. did you receive the supplies that were on that bill? If you have insurance, like we said, check that your insurance company paid what they were supposed to pay.
Did he pay for the $30 Tylenol pill?
Gosh. If you do not owe what the bill shows you owe, then you act quickly right. and dispute it. Okay, so try to negotiate a lower payment amount. So if the bill is accurate, but you can't pay it in full,
right.
then that's when negotiation comes in.
And sometimes you can do that at the time of service. You
mm-hmm.
can talk to the medical provider if there's something that they can do to help you minimize that bill.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, once you receive that bill, you know, you can settle. And sometimes talk to your provider as well, or the hospital. Sometimes there are some payment assistance programs.
Yeah.
And in some cases, there's some great souls out there that will come in and wipe off some organizations. Some churches will come in and pay some medical bills for
yeah.
unsuspecting debtors.
So the first option is to try to negotiate for a lower payment.
Right.
Then option two would be to set up a payment plan.
Right.
You might be able to pay a lower set amount each month until the debt is paid off. And then we have a third option, try to settle the debt. This means negotiating for a reduced overall balance that is considered a full payment.
Right.
And as long as you do all of that, all of those options, before you become delinquent or in collections,
right.
then that's when it gets a little scary. So, and like you said, there's another option, Sal. Option number four would be to work with a nonprofit credit counseling organization. They can help you through your medical debt situation as well.
Right.
Okay. And also, you could, go into another website, www.usa.gov, and you search for credit counseling. and that'll give you some more resources that you could include with the Federal Trade Commission. And, you know, you had mentioned, Sal, that medical debt can be, what did you call it?
Devastating.
So much so that considering bankruptcy, which would be a last resort.
I mean, there's also Chapter 13 where you set up a repayment plan to pay that debt. But the very last resort would be a Chapter 7 where they liquidate that debt. Sometimes it's insurmountable. I mean, I'm getting a little personal here. One of my children needs a sonogram, and even with insurance, it's close to $2,000. I mean, that's with insurance. That's the negotiated price. Mm-hmm. Now, you have people out there that don't have insurance or very minimal insurance where they're not getting their services negotiated. Now, you're talking $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, mm-hmm. and they may be making $25,000 a year.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's devastating.
That is devastating.
So, just a brief bankruptcy is a legal process that helps people who can't pay their debts.
But talk to your financial advisor, your attorney. Let them give you the advice that you need.
Exactly. And you can get some legal help by visiting another government agency, HTTPS. It's https://lsc.gov
lsc.gov
and find a legal aid program.
Or if you just type in lsc.gov, make sure it has the https
/. Okay. So if you'd like to join the conversation, don't hesitate. Our number is 214-431-5032. We're going to continue to talk about medical debt. Let's talk about medical debt in collections and credit.
All right. I like that.
No, we don't like that. There's.
I like talking about it.
You like talking about it.
Yeah. Putting people straight on this.
Yeah. Exactly. We want to be sure that you're informed so you can make those decisions. So if you don't know by now, there are three nationwide credit reporting agencies.
What are they?
Which ones are they, Sal?
TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian.
There you go. And these agencies do not place medical debt on credit reports until they're 180 days after the date of the first missed payment.
Right.
So they are considered debt, but they give you some leeway.
Right. Because it's something that's out of your control.
I mean,
sometimes your insurance company will not pay, and they take a little longer to pay, so the medical provider or billing company is going to send it straight to
put it in collections.
Right. And very quick to take it out.
Okay, good.
Very slow to take it off. Mm-hmm. From a lender standpoint, I had to bring this back to lending. If we're using an FHA loan, we're not considering medical collections as a because we understand that this can be a one-off situation, something that you're not wanting to pay, but you're not able to for whatever reason, and they understand that.
So medical debt that went to collections but has since been paid is not a factor in your FICO
score.
Definitely
not.
But unpaid medical debt in collections is a factor.
Right.
So that's important to know.
Right. Although lenders will consider.
Yeah. It's a smaller impact, right?
A smaller impact on the medical, but mm-hmm. it does impact your FICO mm-hmm. or your credit score. Mm-hmm. And that FICO score will impact your ability to obtain financing or financing with more favorable terms.
All right. Okay. So we have gone through a lot of information today when it comes to managing debt.
Bring it on.
So it's a lot of information. And so I think the big takeaway is understanding where you are now.
And understanding where to go if you need help.
Exactly. Right? And so we recommend always annual credit report.
Right. Get an annual credit report.
Gov.
Talk to your MyCreditReport.gov. Look at your credit report. You don't necessarily have to get a pay for your credit scores. Just understand your credit. Look at it. Don't wait till you're actually in a situation where you can't make the payments. As soon as you know that, call your call a lender. See what they can do for you. Call a nonprofit organization. See what they can do for you. Call or visit the websites that we had given you. We'll have this information on our website, but don't let it just linger there because it's not going to get any better. Try to addressing it up front. So it's understanding your debt, understanding where to go, and how to deal with it.
And how to manage it. Absolutely. Right. Okay, so our mission here at The Reba Show is to inform you and to serve you. So we bring you information that will help you in your homeownership process. Our hope is that you'll engage with us here at The Reba Show and become a loyal fan of this show. So please make a note and listen every Tuesday at 2 at fbrn.us. We're in Studio A. So we're a nonprofit. We're a 501c3 nonprofit organization. We volunteer to give you this information so you will have that knowledge that you need. You can always reach out to us by email, rebashow@rebaconnect.org, and that is spelled HREBA show@HREBAconnect.org. So this episode is available as a podcast on the Reba Show page at fbrn.us and also on our website.
And on YouTube.
And on YouTube. We're also on Facebook Live. We've been streaming Facebook Live also. And of course, if you'd like to make a donation for us to continue funding this program, you can reach out to us as well. Go
Please
to our website, rebaconnect.org, and click the donate button. We'd really appreciate that. So again, my name's Leticia Gallegos, President and CEO of the Hispanic Real Estate Brokers Association.
Wait.
What?
What about the golf tournament?
Okay.
Hello.
We're running out of time.
I know, that's fine.
But we're running out of time, but we're going to have more information next week. Stay tuned. We have a golf tournament that's a fundraiser for our organization. And with that, the funds that we raise, we are able to give out higher education scholarships that we're really proud of. And so that golf tournament is May 11th. And it's at Diamond Oaks Country Club. You can visit our website and learn all about it as well. In June is National Home Ownership Month, and we're going to have a home ownership fair, a home buyer fair in June. And we are going to bring you more information about that as we get closer to the date, but we want you to come out and check that out as well.
Check out on our Facebook.
That's right.
Our Facebook
so we
and
have,
website.
We're so glad that you are listening. We're so glad to have you here. And I'm signing off, Leticia Gallegos, with my co-host,
Salvador Villalobos.
Come back and listen to us next week, next Tuesday. Have a great afternoon, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Peace.